What Jace is it, Bellerin?
Why the fuck would it be Jace Bellerin? Why the fuck? Hello, and welcome to At Your Insta. My name is Morgan, and I am joined here with Jordan.
Hey, what's up?
And Mike.
Hi.
And this is episode 18, and we're going to go ahead and kind of break down what we're going to talk about. So we're going to take a look here, and we're going to first talk about Star City Games, the Star City Games Open that happened in Seattle. And then we're going to move into GP Louisville. Both of these were standard events that we're going to be discussing. Then we also have some new information about the dual deck that's going to be coming out in the spring. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and do our traditional, after that, we're going to do our traditional question of the week. So we're going to make it a, kind of a nice tight show today. Again, did you guys want to talk about anything before we kind of broke into Star City Games Seattle?
We talk a lot about standard on here, but I should mention there was another GP this weekend.
Okay, so there was, what, a limited GP?
It was a limited GP. You know why it's important? You know why it's important?
Because Shuhei Nakamura won?
Again!
What? Because Shuhei is just, it was GP Hong Kong, wasn't it?
GP Hong Kong, yes.
Correct, yes, so the limited GP. Typically we don't talk about limited unless it, I mean, we should probably do a limited episode just because it is the PTQ format. We're probably, I'm not the most adept at the current standard format as it stands right now, but maybe we should both learn up on it and then do an episode. But yes, there was GP Hong Kong and Shuhei Nakamura won it.
His sixth Grand Prix title.
Yeah, no big deal.
The running joke on Twitter was that, like, they, instead of giving him green 3-5s for 5, they gave him 3-7s for 5, and he just broke the format.
Yeah,
with
it just, so. He's like, oh, these are better. There was literally a picture that he tweeted that was a picture of the centaurs. I forget the first name, but the 3-7 centaurs for 5. And he was like, this is my best card in the whole draft deck. And I was like, oh, all right, I'll believe you, Shuhei Nakamura. Again, I don't know anything about the draft format.
Is he Hall of Fame, or is... He's one that's up for contention for Hall of Fame, correct?
I think he's already in the Hall of Fame.
I'm pretty sure he is already.
I'm pretty sure that he. If not, then I don't think that he would be up for contention and not get into the Hall of Fame. So I'm pretty sure that he's there. We're looking it up right now,
guys. I'm fairly certain. We can come back to it. I will say I'm no draft master. I did win a draft this week, though.
Oh, look at you!
I did. It wasn't Theros, though. It was.
Oh, okay. Well, why does it matter?
Because it gives me one more chance. To laugh at Jordan before how I beat him with Dragon.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
the board was like kind of difficult to figure out, and like I think I made the correct blocks. He's like four dudes that are attacking, and it's one of those turns like if I mess up these blocks, I lose the game. And I think I was down 0-1 at that point. So, or was it the first game?
It was the first game.
It was the first game. So I really needed to make these good blocks. I think I make the correct blocks, and then he says I'm sorry, and then proceeds to overload Hypersonic Dragon. Dragon Shift.
There you go.
I was just like, oh.
Okay. And you just lost. And that was the best thing to see. And then we have a group chat for the show. And he just sent me a picture of the Dragon Shift. And that was his card that he won with. And I was like, oh, that's so sad.
He made me sign it.
Yeah.
Big C. By the way, to dispel the rumor, Shuhei Nakamura is the class of 2011.
There you go.
So, yeah. Pro Tour debut.
Of course. I would be honestly surprised.
I just want to mention that Shuhei Nakamura is the greatest ever. And I just want one more chance to harass Jordan.
So. Fair enough. I mean, that's pretty good reason. That's why I asked.
I will say, I think the pizza's here. Hello, and welcome back to After Pizza.
Yes. So,
slow your bit, Morgan.
Oh, look at you. Look at you doing...
At your instep,
you can just do the show without me. Why am I even here? What am I even doing?
Yeah, we've talked about this before.
Oh, that's true. I should bring it up again. moving on.
You may go to your kitchen.
So, we'll go ahead and we'll jump right into Star City Games Seattle here real quick. It was about, five... We kind of took a look at the round run. After round one, there was just about 500 people here. There wasn't anything that really...
Star City boring.
Yeah, there wasn't anything that jumped out. I mean, like, we had the whole event run... the whole event... Won by Jesse Hampton. He was playing a blue-white control list.
Oh, wow. No Elspeth.
No Elspeth. Yeah, that was the thing that they were talking about. It definitely... people didn't expect this list to kind of show up the way that it is, especially without any Elspeth. And that you know, people were like, well, we didn't expect this to win, but, you know, there it is. They're saying, like, Jesse Hampton, well, he's clearly an accomplished player, which basically to me says, like, we wouldn't play this pile of garbage. Like, we wouldn't do this with that Elspeth. Like, no. Like, it just wasn't going to happen.
We're so sorry,
Elspeth. What did he cut it for? It looks like he cut it for a Celestial Flare and an Essence Scatter in the main.
He's got a Quicken in there, too. You see that?
Well, yeah, that's standard, kind of
a staple of that.
Yeah, line. That's pretty good. Yeah. And so they're really good with lows and stuff like
good,
that.
Good is, it, I mean, it's been a one-off consistently in that list for a while.
Since Max Seats came in second with it, yeah.
You didn't get my, yeah.
No, it's, I want to quickly forget about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we just tried to give you some grace. So they cut the two Elspeth in favor of a Essence Scatter and a Celestial Flare. And then there's an extra Sphinx's Red in there.
Yeah, he has the four instead of just the three that we were seeing.
What did he cut that? Can't really tell.
He's not playing the full four Divination either, like I said, so.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, so, I mean, it's a list.
It's a fine list. It's full light control. I feel like most of the lists in Star City, and not to downplay anybody who did well in Star City, and I guess maybe we got spoiled last week after all the new lists out of the Pro Tour, but I don't know. It just didn't feel very innovative. We had the resurgence of Esper, which you could have predicted because of how both blue light control and Esper are running Supreme Verdict, which is essentially been considered the bane of the Devotion decks. We'll get to the GP, but that's what ended up taking out Sam Black and a little bit of irony. So, but I mean, overall, you said you get Esper did well. I know Cedric Phillips ended up going 8-2 and just missed out on getting back into the top eight highlights there.
Right.
Playing Esper again. So I don't know. There's not much to say about this. You still have to prepare for these lists, and I think that's one thing. Like after the Pro Tour, people just assume. Like, people are really quick to assume, like, certain archetypes are dead. Like, oh, well, Esper's just gone. No, it's going to come back.
Esper will always be good. Yeah,
yeah, and it was really good just against the Devotion decks. Like, the Supreme Verdict is just naturally good against those decks.
Right.
I mean, and rounding out the top eight, we have... second place was White-Black Midrange, so it was good to see that deck was still doing well. Then we have the Green-Red Devotion list from, probably similar to Hara's list from the Pro Tour. We also have
Colossal Gruul, as it were.
Yeah, Colossal Gruul, which is another common nomenclature for the deck. And then
what I do think is interesting that these decks have adopted, and it's not just these decks running Nykthos, because we'll look at John Stern's list in the GP.
We'll have to talk about that.
Mistcutter Hydras in the main, though, are becoming widely adopted this week. I think what's really interesting is that the card is a fairly. I mean, it's a traditional kind of hate card. But combining an X-cost creature with Nykthos leads to some ridiculous turns. And you give this creature haste. Oh God. John Stern, we'll talk about that a little bit. John Stern did some crazy things. But most of his lists in the top eight of Star City are also running some number of Mistcutter Hydras in the main. So they've adopted this to try and, beat up on the Mono Blue Devotion list.
Sure. Most certainly. I have seen that a lot of the times with a lot of the lists that are kind of showing up. And then we'll take a look here, and then we also had a black green mid range list that showed up a little bit there. So let me pull that list up, because I played a black green mid range list at the game day, and it didn't turn out as well as I'd like. But this seems very similar to what I was running. I don't think I didn't have the gray merchants of Asphodel, but we have two Desecration Demons, four gray merchants. Four Lifebane Zombies, three Nightveil Spectres, two Reaper of the Wilds, and three Scavenging Oozes. And then, we take a look and we have the typical stuff you find in a black-based control deck. The Underworld Connections, Abrupt Decays, Hero's Downfall, some Ultimate Prices, Whip of Erebos, Thoughtseize. No Read the Bones, though, which I think is interesting.
Mike's face, hold on, is the most perplexing thing to watch.
Because we're having a terrible bit of an agent just appear in the Matrix. Having a little bit of deja vu. There's a dated reference for you.
Oh man,
this list was week one. There was this minus the gray merchants; those are fairly new. Mm-hmm. But this style of list was kind of a blast from the past. And at the turn of the format, this deck was really big. The black green deck was at the end of the last format.
Yeah,
yeah.
It beat Jun straight up.
It generally did. But same goes in modern, I suppose. I think this deck, it gains Abrupt Decay. Which is interesting, but compared to the mono black devotion lists from this weekend, I don't know if this is better or not.
Well, it's interesting because you take a look at this list and you kind of take a look at it and you get Golgari Charm, which is kind of an interesting card to have. Because, you know, all the modes are semi-relevant. You get to destroy enchantments, which is pretty good against most of the blue-white decks or anyone running enchantments that are susceptible to it. Not gods, but obviously there's other enchantments. The -1/-1 is kind of insane against Master Waves. Another Ekklund creatures. And then you have the Regenerator, which is good in a devotion-based list, if this was more devotion-based. But, you know, you slam it down, regenerate all your creatures after a Supreme Verdict. So I think Golgari Charm is definitely an awesome card. And I wish that's why we had, like, the Black-Green Scryland, so we could just, like, have a play Black-Green devotion and get kind of a free splash for that card.
And not have to play four Golgari Gilgates.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's kind of rough. That's definitely sort of rough.
You know what I'll say, though, about these deck lists now, as opposed to last standard? Deck reg is so easy now. Like, for game day, I was like, 8 islands, 8 plains, it took like 5 minutes to reg a deck instead of like 4 of a billion types of lands.
Oh, no, with Nihilat's format, you know, most of the land sections on, you know, lists, they couldn't contain all the lands.
I got more lands than you could hold, buddy.
And then, you know, kind of rounding out, we had another black-white mid-range list that show up. I don't know, I think they're probably a little bit different, the white-black compared to the black-white, maybe? Let's take a look at it here, because it may just be like the same thing, but... this one is more heavy black. It does have play things like Grey Merchant. Also has High Priest of Penance, which is showing up. And I heard a lot of some people in Facebook threads and stuff like that talking about this card as a 2-drop. Because basically the black-white or the white-black mid-range lists have a really hard time with the red-based aggro. So this guy kind of holds him off, can trade, and also still take out a creature. And kind of can even come back with Whip, maybe, but that's not necessarily as relevant, since you probably don't want it to attack.
I mean, whether attacking for one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Got him.
Yeah, get there. But, you know, this clearly is more of a black-based devotion list. Now, something that I've been watching a lot of Michael Jacob as of late, and he's been streaming with a white-black mid-range list. And he says that he can't stand Blood Baron. He just, you know, he knows that, like, you know, the black-based devotion list can't really deal with them, but they have things like Thoughtseize and Life Aid Zombie that just rip it out of your hand. And they can just, like, completely mitigate it, and they can even steal it these days with Night of the Spectre, which is kind of insane. So, what do you guys think? Do you think that, you know, going forward, knowing that we have, you know, black-white mid-range, white-black mid-range, and mono-black devotion all kind of showing up, what do you guys think about things like Blood Baron of Viscopa? Do you think that they're this sort of warping thing, or just kind of, you know, people are hinging too much on it?
I mean, this list only runs one across the 75, and Paul Wright's only played one, correct?
I think so.
I mean, like, it's a powerful card. It's not as quickly impactful as Obsidian, but it definitely takes over a board. I mean, it dies to a lot of things, but Stormrift Dragon's still a good card, and guess what? It has the same body and dies to more things.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably fine. I don't know, you know, the black, even the mono blacklists are playing, you know, like Devour Fleshes and stuff.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's not like they can't kill it, but.
Right.
The card has been, I know, Star City itself the other day put up 25 and was sold out again.
That's
so
insane.
I mean, somebody likes this card.
I guess so. Oh, and, you know, hey, if you went deep on Pack Rats, just wait till we talk about GP Louisville. You guys made a great investment.
You're packing away.
If you were being a Pack Rat for Pack Rat, well then.
Oh, Morgan's kicking me out. I'm sorry. Yes.
The only other list that kind of was interesting that was a little bit different in 15th place was a Jund Monsters list. So this is probably, you know, pretty much creatures, Domaries, and a ghost. What are we splashing black for, guys? Reaper of the Wilds. Looks like
in Dreadwings
and Rakdos Return. I'm really sad. I don't understand why things like
Rakdos Return and Xenagos together are pretty insane.
That seems pretty bad. I'm okay with that.
Oh god.
Yeah. I'm surprised why things like Rakdos Return and what's the 4-mana extraction card that we have.
I almost said Hunger Games.
Slaughter Games.
Slaughter Games. Why?
Katniss, why?
Why aren't those seeing more play? Do you guys ever think about that? It just seems like such a powerful effect.
I mean, shell's gone.
Well, I don't think this shell exists. I think Rakdos Return is still so objectively powerful. I agree with you. Maybe this is because the colors haven't been that good so far.
That's kind of what I mean.
But Slaughter Games, like, like, there's been so many decks in the format, you know, that it's not... You know, Slaughter Games gets better the more defined the format is.
That's true.
You know what I mean? I mean, right now, maybe you start boarding it in because hitting Gray Merchant against most of these black decks is pretty funny because you just take away a lot of the reach.
Well, I mean, even like the mono blue decks, be like, Master Waves, take your Master Waves.
At that point there, you're still tapping out on your turn four, maybe three if you have a little bit of, you know, if they cast a Master with any sort of value and then your next turn is two, you know, Slaughter Games are Master.
The Master. Oh, I mean, you feel pretty bad. But I mean, like, you saw the play how you would play it in Jund. You would take it out if you were, you know.
Well, correct.
You'd want to play it on the play, but not necessarily on the draws.
No, for sure, for sure. I don't know, I think maybe, again, the more homogeneous, you know, I mean, the format gets, then the better Slaughter Games gets.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. But I want to see something, you know, Black Red X come back. I think that those cards are super powerful, and it's a shame that they're not getting played.
I mean, we had a local player playing a Jund list for a while that I thought was at least interesting. I mean, it'd be the best, but he was playing Deathrite Shamans and the Cerberus.
Yeah.
And the whole idea was, and Scavengers, obviously. And the whole, like, and it was actually similar to this deck. It just had the Cerberus in there over, I think, I want to say it was over the Paul Kronos, because I know he had Reaper of the Wilds. But the idea would be, you know, just like, you attrition, you know, their creatures out, and then, you know, you eat them all away with Scavenging Uses and Deathrite Shamans, and then Cerberus is sort of the mirror breaker, where even if they manage to kill this giant 6/6 ridiculous monster, then when it dies, all their creatures have been exiled, and all your creatures return to your hand.
Yeah.
So you get, it's almost like playing the Angel Serenity effect, where you're just kind of like, oh, well, I'll just draw all these cards.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, I don't know how good it really is, but it was at least, you know, it's nice to see some people, you know, there's a lot of room to still work within these shells.
Speaking of cards that don't get played a whole lot, Angel Serenity. Oh man, I miss that card. I miss getting that card for 4 or 5 mana. that was my favorite. Can we go back to that standard, please? Oh man, that was my favorite. Maybe I should just work with Obsidete and see if we can break.
I forgot you played Rites for a little bit.
Yeah, that was
the dollars.
I actually did pretty good with Rites most of the time. So.
Oh yeah! Remember when Morgan was
really,
at the...
I really miss the Acidic Slime guys.
Remember when Morgan was at the PTQ and played it to win, and like Acidic Slime to win, and he goes, "Who's your daddy?" And his opponent looked at him like he was the dumbest guy in the world.
No, if you didn't notice, remember he liked BBD during that format because of his junk list, and then BBD wins this GP. And what do I see on Facebook? I see a little smiling picture of Morgan, you know, is now following BBD on Facebook, and it's just like. I love you, BBD!
Can you and Reed Duke have babies? That would be the best thing ever.
Listen, just because
so broad of chest.
He's just so, they're all flexing and making bodybuilders.
And they're also the nicest guys ever who play Magic.
Right, yeah. They just be like, triangles on top of triangles. That's what it would be like.
You want to ride on my biceps to pairings?
I carry you.
They're also Russians, somehow.
I don't know.
Morgan, like, whenever he depicts a strong man, makes him Russian.
Have you ever seen a weak Russian? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Wow, bravo.
There we go.
Well, hold on.
Hold on. Let me stall in here for a little bit.
Okay. Wait, what did you say? Let's stall. You son of a bitch.
I didn't get it. I'm so good.
That's all right.
So awesome.
Oh, no, man. Don't worry about it, Jordan. You don't want to get it.
No, I got it now. I'm not that dumb. Yeah.
Do I get good marks for that one?
No. Go die in a fire, but not here. Somewhere else. You're in my house. You can't die in a fire.
Oh, boy.
So, Louisville.
Yeah, that's like GP. I wish I could have gone to you, but I couldn't because I had better things to do. And I already went to a GP this year, so maybe I'll work out.
One a year.
Well, one till next year.
Fair enough.
And then I'll be able to square it away a little bit better. But this was obviously standard, and it's pretty interesting that they would have a standard GP so close to the Pro Tour. Because I don't know. It seems like you're not going to have much time for growth potential. So you would think that a lot of lists that you see are a lot of lists that you've seen at the Pro Tour. Guess what? I mean, yeah, that's true. That's most of what we saw. So we have things like the first list that comes up in your top 8, you know, bracket is we see that we have Sam Black being back in the top 8 of the GP, you know, straight off the Pro Tour.
So I want to share the Sam Black story here.
Okay, so yeah. So he's playing, obviously, Mono Blue Devotion, but apparently there's a story. I didn't get to watch much coverage.
So. The guy, I have to look up the name here. There was a player who ended up in 9th place. He was playing a White Weenie deck that went undefeated day one.
Yeah.
Justin Harrell is the guy.
Yeah.
Round 15 gets paired against Sam Black.
Mm-hmm.
They can both draw in.
Sam Black says, no, I want to play for, you know, for, because, you know,
he wants to play for seeding.
He wants to play for seeding, you know, and you can't blame him for that. So he plays for seeding. Dream crushes this poor guy into ninth place. Okay.
Oh god.
And gets paired against Esper in the first round bracket and gets knocked out.
I mean, let's see, like the Justin Harrell. Like I saw the deck list and like I have those cards. I played that deck that he
right.
went undefeated with, and I just like, well, I'm fucking retarded. I literally played that deck and couldn't win a match. And this guy just goes undefeated with this, so it makes it so tempting to go back to it, just see someone do well with it, and like continue to work at it to broaden my horizons. But I'm just not sure if that, like, if putting the time and effort into that is you know worth the necessary investment. But I mean, like, who knows? But it's too bad to not see that list in the top eight because Sam Black was kind of a jerkwad.
Well, I mean, you can't blame him for that, but I do think
I completely understand because I mean,
if there is karma.
It was there.
Yeah. One of the things that I liked about the player profiles, it's really funny. As competitive players, we're like, well, I'm going to play this deck because I just have these cards. That's Sam Black's thing, too. If you read his interview, they go, so why did you play the deck you had? He goes, because I had the cards. So even if you work for Star City, you can't get cards sometimes. It's apparently the one he
Well, sees. I'm sure, I mean, mostly the guys who played in the Pro Tour just got back, like, midweek, you know, flew right. from Dublin into Louisville.
Also, yeah. David Cho finished his vacation in Dublin, flew to Louisville, which is a terrible place to go just from Dublin.
Yeah,
like, we've all been to Louisville,
yeah, but it's a disaster. Kentucky. Woo!
We got Natty Daddy Factory as opposed to the Guinness Factory.
Wow. Delicious. And then we had another mono blue list that was piloted by Andrew Beckstrom. Yeah. Beckstrom, yes.
And all these lists pretty much look the exact same, yeah. minus give or take a couple of cards.
The mono blue list, I mean, the main choice of the mono blue list right now seems to be whether you're running more Jace's main or more Biden's main.
Right.
You know, Jace is more consistent, but the Biden, you know, can draw you more cards than Jace can,
yeah.
you know, in one fell swoop, so... It's kind of interesting. And obviously the Biden's ability, while it hasn't come up too much, you know, in mirror matches, it's a big deal to be like, okay, send all your guys at me.
Yeah.
I need to draw some cards next turn.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's pretty interesting to see the kind of division that we have between those two cards
right.
in those lists. And now we'll move on. Then there's two Esper control lists that kind of made top eight. So Esper, you know, as we stated, as we saw in Star City Games Seattle, Esper is definitely making a strong comeback, you know, feeding off of these devotion lists. And so we can take a look here. And there's another list that we're...
I want to look, and now, yes, I'm being... You know, there are two Esper lists in the top eight, but there was Adam Jansen made top 16 with an Esper list that ran... Take a look at those Planeswalkers there. What do you see?
I think that looks like a bit of a Super Friends list, because we have four Ashiok.
All four Ashiok.
one Elspeth, and then four Jace. So they were really reaching and stretching on that one. Ashiok's kind of a weird card too, because it was like hot and heavy the first two weeks, and then it's like, well, you know, I wasn't really there at the Pro Tour. Do I need it in my Esper list? And it kind of disappeared, except for I guess Adam Jansen took them all from everyone else's list. It's like, you're not playing these? Okay.
I think the interesting thing here is how Ashiok as a utility card gets a lot better when your opponent has, you know, people were talking about it being a mirror card for control, but it actually may do a little bit better in these small creature, you know, because it's the mono blue deck post board is going to be a control deck. The devotion deck is,
yeah,
but it also has a bunch of tiny little creatures you can take too. So Ashiok can get a bunch of value. Just like all of a sudden, you know, Ashiok just starts making a stream of creatures without interrupting your draws in any way.
No, and
your
opponent does not have any mana.
Yeah, and your opponent doesn't have any access to a wrath effect. So it's
or removal. Let's be fair. It's mono blue.
It's what I say before.
Yeah,
you can't. Kill a creature.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's interesting. Maybe Ashiok got a little better because of the mono blue decks.
Maybe. Or like just the mono X decks in particular. You know, I can definitely see like maybe I guess mono black. If they can.
I don't know. I mean, if you take a Grave Merchant with your Ashiok.
Well, all right.
I mean, you're like, game three.
I mean, fair enough. That is definitely a thing that I could do, but. I think people might be dismissing that card. Like, it feels like it's turned everyone's like, oh, this card's so good. And then, like, a week later, it's just garbage. And it's just so weird to see. So, yeah, I definitely think Ashiok deserves spots in sideboards, at the very least. I definitely think can see it there.
I'm playing it this weekend.
Oh, I mean, there you go.
And Legacy.
Oh, man. That seems really, really spicy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is...
So we'll get to that later.
Yeah, so now we kind of get to the list that we actually want to talk about. This is the three deck lists that we have here are actually from the, you know, Star City crew. We actually have three people showing up with Mono Black Devotion. So we have Brad Nelson, Brian Bronduin, and Todd Anderson all showing up in the top eight, playing the pretty much the same list. It is the same 75 across the board, I think.
I think I will say this. I think BBD, they said his mana base is a little different on here. Do-do-do, where are you? There you go. BBD was not playing a Nykthos, and everyone else was playing Nykthos. So, but he had the fourth Muta Vault instead, which he won. So
I mean, who knows? Who knows who's right? But either way, so Brian Bronduin did win with the Mono Black list, and there are two other versions of it in top eight in the. Final match, excuse me, he played against John Stern from Face to Face Games fame, playing a red-green monsters list. Now, this list is not like the Mahara list that we've
Yeah, there's no devotion aspect
to
this.
Yeah, it's just dudes. And it's not like, it's not even, I wouldn't even say it's like a red-green monsters list like we've seen Todd.
There's no Ember Hall or Ember Swallowers, I should say.
Yeah, and even the top eight list that Brad Nelson did take had things like Flesh Blood in it, and this doesn't have any of that either.
Flesh and Blood is so,
this list, I don't necessarily even really like this list. Like, why wouldn't you just be playing Colossal Gruul if you had access to this? I don't think that this list does anything better than, you know, playing the bigger version of list at all. And that's something that I was watching Michael Jacobs stream, and he built this list online. He said this list is garbage. He played against the Colossal Gruul list and just got smashed because they're just a bit slower, but they're big. They're bigger.
Yeah.
So they just outclass you.
No, to be fair, to play onto that description of this list just being worse, Michael Jacobs is the easiest player to tilt in the history of Magic the Gathering. So sure. He like starts with a deck that he thinks is awful. He goes 0-2, and then he's like, well, that deck was just horseshit.
But I mean,
this deck top 8 in GBs, so it's not garbage.
But I mean, like...
It's suboptimal, I would definitely agree.
Yeah, like, he's playing Time to Feed in the sideboard.
But
there has to be something better. There has to be.
But to use Michael Jacobs as the epitome example of, like, well, he did bad with it. Well, he also whines more than anybody I've ever watched stream ever, too.
I suppose. It doesn't make him wrong.
I like him a lot, too. No, but...
I mean, I literally... So, I was writing... So I was sitting there Sunday writing a metagame review because it was requested for legit. So I'm just like pouring over lists and seeing how many things that I can include. And for under the mid-range category, I included black-white.
Yeah.
And then I just wrote down red-white, or red-green X. And I said, I'm not even going to include a list because these lists keep shifting. And I went into detail what would be in them. I'm like, generally, though, these probably aren't as good as the devotion lists, right? And I was watching round 15 as I'm typing this. Yeah, because I'm like, oh, top eight's pretty much shaped up. I watched John Stern playing against an Esper list, lose game one in just incredible fashion. And I'm like, well, this is done. Submit the list, right? Submit the article because I was done.
Right.
So watch him draw the most. Like, he was literally had no cards left in hand, and his opponent's at eight, and he's just like, draw for turn, Stormrift Dragon, attack you for four. He's like, oh. And his opponent, like, he's trying to figure out what to do, draws for turn, So he tried to play something. I think he played a Jace on his turn. He's like, ships it back. And Stern just like, oh, miscut a Hydra off the top for four, attack you. And he's just like, I was just like, what? And then the next game, we'll talk about the miscut a Hydra, is the game where he like, so he had his opponent played a Pithy Needle on turn one and named Omnirain. And he proceeds to go turn three Xenagos. Mm. And so like right there, you're like, oof. And so he's just, like, going to town with Xenagos. So, of course, you know, the Xenagos makes a really awkward game for the control player, as I'm sure you know, Jordan. Hard to deal with. And then, like, all of a sudden, he taps low for, I think it was a Jace again this game. He taps low for something. So John Stern untaps and has two mana elves and a Satyr, and then lands. And he's like, mana elf tap, plus one Xenagos, Miscutter Hydra for nine. And he's just like... What? So it's just like, he's like that, like, rocket launcher. Boom! So I'm just like staring at this list. And then I'm watching him go through top eight. So I sent an email to the editor. I'm like, I'm going to resubmit this list because I think I'm an idiot if I don't include John Stern's list.
I think a lot of people are going to be talking to you. I just don't think you should play this.
I mean, I think the devotion list is probably better myself.
Yeah.
Your explosive draws are better. I think I mentioned, we talked about the Pro Tour last week that had Mihara. Mihito, thank you. Had more Miscutter Hydras. Mihara, Miyamoto.
You said Mihito. Yeah, Mojito, whatever, that guy's name.
You mean the Caribbean drink you can get a Red Lobster?
No,
the Mojito?
The guy that makes all the good Nintendo games.
Oh god, we just lost our entire Japanese fan base.
At your end, so we'd like to apologize to anyone whose names we butchered.
So we even sold to Japanese people, fat people, I'm sure the mentally
green challenged. Creatures.
Green creatures.
But anyway, I think, like, we said before, if he had more Miscutter Hydras in that list,
yeah.
And now we see them being adopted in the main all the way across, you know, and honestly, that card's not just dead against, like, it can just blow out opponents who even are prepared for it. Just be like, well, I guess just attack you for this. And you're just like,
scoop it up. Can't
so,
kill it. So.
You know, I mean, obviously, once again, like, the way people were talking about it on you know, and this is, I guess, a broader point than just this list, but people were talking about it on Twitter about, you know, well, what will you know, Wizards include in the next set to make sure we can keep Nykthos in check? I'm like, well, you already have, like, Encroaching Wastes.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to play around it. But, well, how do we deal with Devotion? I'm like, Devotion doesn't work if they have Permanence in play.
So kill the Permanence.
You know, so we have a healthy board state. Kill their things, then Devotion isn't any good. Like, so, you know, it's people are like, what are they going to have an answer for this? I'm like, how would you build your own deck that has an answer to it? Like,
yeah,
you
can beat Devotion if you want to. I think the only thing that they don't have a lot of answers for are gods. There's not a whole lot of things.
And that's fair.
And gods are easy to turn off with the...
Again, killing all their permanents.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, you can turn gods into enchantments. Like, I feel that's true. You can turn them off from being a creature, but sometimes the more devastating things is them not being necessarily creatures.
I've chained my fair share of Thassa to the rocks.
Right. No, yeah. I mean,
it's a really bad flavor fail because it's like right next to the ocean.
Not all of us can play red white. You know, not all of us have that ability.
No, but I really think, like, the gods, and this is kind of just me thinking out loud at this point, but are the gods even really that insane aside from being devoted, like from being built up? Because,
yes.
I mean,
yeah.
So think of the Master of the Waves deck, like the Mono Zim Blacklist, Supreme Verdict, Master of Waves, and Tide Binder Mage, and all that stuff away.
Supreme Verdict.
They don't play that card. What?
They can't play Supreme Verdict.
Oh, no, I'm saying Supreme Verdict, all their blue.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So Supreme Verdict, all the Tide Binder Mage, all that stuff away. You have a Thassa. If you can control the board,
for sure.
So I'm kind of saying what you're saying is, like, just control the board. Like, Erebos isn't very good by himself.
Yeah, but I mean, like, how many decks are out there that I can actually necessarily, like? I guess
Esper, blue white, like
I just think. I think there's some. There was Brad Nelson, and he drew incredibly well on this matchup. And I don't know if this is the top eight or not, but I saw a match where he was playing against Esper, and his Esper opponent, you know, drew for turn and didn't draw a Supreme Verdict. Merciless Eviction, and to Brad Nelson's double Underworld Connections board. You know what I mean? You just got to start playing, that might be the card you got to look at, because guess what? That kills gods. You know what I mean?
It does. Exactly.
So, like, I think there's enough cards, like I said, there's enough cards in Standard. It's even a small Standard. That's the thing that's crazy. But there's enough cards in Standard right now that you could still, you know, I kind of lost my mind after that, like, oh man, Nykthos is broken. The devotion list that won the GP didn't have a Nykthos in it.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And the huge mana that John Stern made did it without Nykthos too. I mean,
right.
Though, man, Zendigo's picking a lot of mana. Who thought that was an interesting ability back when we were talking about spoilers? God, I can't remember who that was. Oh, it was me. Yep.
I mean, like, obviously that.
To be fair, Morgan did say that card was the same, and we all made fun of him for it. So,
hey, yeah, it's still. I mean, it's still a good card. I don't think that there is the right amount of cards in Standard. Like, it's a two of right now, but I think with proper, you know, cards introduced into Standard, it could be definitely a four of. I think so. I don't know if it's there or not.
It's a kind of Planeswalker. It's not like Domri where you actively have a minus for what you're going to use.
Yeah.
So, like, multiple Domris are good because you actually might want to eliminate your Domri. Same with Jace.
Yeah.
Whereas multiple Zenigos inherently aren't as good. It's just like, it's the same reason you wouldn't ever play four Garruk Relentless, because you didn't have a consistent way. You know, it was just a token generator.
That's true.
So I don't know if it will ever be a four.
You might actually
be
more right than I am. That would just be like a two or three of at most. Yeah, you're shaking your head. That's why I don't usually say things out loud. So that, I mean, that's pretty much GP Louisville. I think that taking a look at both Star City Seattle and GP Louisville, taking a look at these lists, it's definitely something that you want to note. Obviously, Mono Blue and Mono Black aren't going to be going away. They're definitely going to be here for the future. So definitely take a look at them. Now, something else that we wanted to definitely shift into and take a look at, just kind of quickly, just because these are, you know, standard cards that these lists kind of highlight, are the next dual deck series has been announced. It's going to be the spring.
Keep talking about it, because I want you to talk about this, but I want to count up, as before you say which Planeswalkers are going to be this, I want to count how many of them are in the top 16.
Okay, sure. So, the next dual deck series is dual decks Jace versus Vraska. So, the two Return to Ravnica Planeswalkers. So, obviously, Jace has kind of come into fruition, if you will. He was really hot when Ravnica first came out, and then kind of fell off the fucking map when Gatecrash and Dragon's Maze were still in standard, and he was just not played whatsoever. And then we now have Mono Blue and Esper and Blue White. They're all like, oh, Jace 4 of instant. So how many were in the 30. Top 16?
30. 30 across the top 16.
30 Jaces across the top 16. So, this has come out to May, people, so don't be like...
March.
It can't... Is it March or...
It's March.
Is it March?
It's March.
Okay. So it's not the spring, then it's sort of like... Eh, I guess it's spring.
March is technically March. Spring, I guess. Yeah.
it has to be after March 20th, guys, and then it will be spring.
Ooh.
So, don't have, like, a flash sale of your Jaces. This doesn't come out, like, next week.
Actually, buy Jaces now because they're a good card. You should just be playing.
No, don't buy Jaces. You missed your boat on Jace, first of all. If you didn't buy him for
$10, I'm not talking about my financials part. I'm still...
Okay,
I was wrong. No, it's released date. It's March 14th. It's online. It's May 12th.
May 12th. That's okay. Weird. That was so far away.
So we've had Baby Jace.
Yep.
We've had Big Jace.
Yep.
All right. We've had Emo Jace.
Yep.
Okay. Now we have Comb Over Jace.
We do have Comb Over Jace.
This Jace Architect of Thought is the worst art.
Yeah, if you are playing with these Jaces, then you should stop immediately. Because these is really, it's super bad artwork for Jace. And normally, hey, we're pretty much a standard competitive level focused podcast. But sometimes there's things that just transcend those barriers. This is one of them. Don't play with this Jace. Don't do it. It's really bad.
To be fair, this Jace is going to be like 80 cents.
No, it'll still probably be like $5, I guess, maybe. Maybe it'll be like so bad it's good, and like people will want to play with it. It'll be like, it'll do a Trolls 2 on us, and it'll be like so bad it's like a cult classic. Like, oh, if you're not playing with Comb Over Jace, you're a fucking joke.
We're going to be hipster about our Comb Over Jaces.
Yeah, maybe that'll happen. You don't know.
Morgan
that.
Is the hipster one on the show.
That's true. I have a keen sense of these things.
I'll stick with my Spanish Jaces. Jace Architect of Defensa Mental.
Oh, man, I would watch him on Mundo all day. Oh, man, I would love to watch that soap opera with him in it. Him and Chandra, it would be like, why are we pitching this to Wizards? What are we doing with
this? I actually have to make an apology. I just said Tel Aviv, which I do believe is like the Arabic national
channel. I think so.
For like Taliban communication, so I will not watch him on Tel Aviv. NSA, Morgan, don't tell your boss.
It's terrible. Anyway. Moving on, and we just want to touch on that just because, hey, you know, Jace, is keep an eye on it. I mean, obviously, if you want to move out of Jace's by March, then it might be a good time.
It's interesting, too. I mean, like, to be fair, as we did with Sorens last year, I have Japanese Sorens that I managed to sell for $30 2 weeks before the Jewel
Deck came out. I don't know who you tricked. So were you, like, the guy with the magical beans? And you're like, hey,
yes, that's exactly.
I have these Sorens.
What does the shark say?
But it is interesting that, so Golgari is getting two Dual Decks within its standard, like so, because we had already had Izzet versus Golgari, yeah. And now we have Jace versus Vraska, which Vraska is Golgari. So, true. I don't know. It's kind of interesting to me that it's like, you know what? Sure, why not? And it might be interesting to see what they, you know, they could put anything from Abrupt Decay to Deathrite Shaman or anything like that if they want
to.
That
is kind of the interesting thing.
We'll see how much they really want to control. Again, they say they want to control Modern, you know? Maybe that's
Deathrite
what they're
Shaman
doing.
In there, like, so. That'll do it. Put Alternate Art Deathrite Shaman in there. Oh, man, that would be sick.
I did want to comment on when I said go buy your Jaces. I didn't actually mean from a financial perspective.
Oh,
I mean, from play the good cards.
Play Jace because there's 30
like, we just talked about like finances 16. For about 10 minutes, and like none of us have any idea about finances.
Yeah, that's true. We're not very good at it.
We buy the good cards and play the good ones.
You know, I don't know much about MTG finance, but I do know that Jace paid too much for that haircut.
Yeah, definitely. He should definitely He should definitely put his hood back up. That's not a good look for him.
Go sculpt some lines, not your hair.
Nah. On the alternate end of the spectrum, though, the new brass guard is fine. I would definitely support you playing the new brass guard.
Definitely not an architect of haircuts.
No, definitely not.
I tried putting him on it.
It's all right. We gotta stop. Moving on. So let's go ahead and let's take a look at our question of the week. This is, you know, pretty much based on the Invitational that's coming up. So we have a Star City Games Invitational coming up in Indianapolis. Mike has queued for the Invitational, so he's going to be taking a part in it starting on Friday, and it is a split format, so it's both Standard and Legacy. So what we wanted to kind of take a look at is we've had the Pro Tour, we've had GP Louisville, we've had some Star City Games Opens. I'm pretty certain that the metagame that we see right now is probably the metagame that you would expect to see at the Pro Tour. Excuse me, not the Pro Tour, guys.
Easy Todd Anderson.
Not the Pro Tour, obviously. It would be at the Invitational. So, you know, how do we prepare for this? How do we kind of take a look at this? On sort of this minor, on a smaller scale, not necessarily be like, take a look at it ambiguously, like we have asked questions, but we have this defined format. What do we do to attack it? What do we do to kind of make sure we're looking at the right things, and not, you know, kind of just ignoring the huge glaring things that are kind of being presented? So Mike, obviously you're going. So what have you kind of taken from what's happened since Pro Tour?
Well, luckily for me, I have spent the last 2 weeks sitting at my house and not going to the Pro Tour or GP Louisville, so I'm hoping all these good players are just winded.
just completely out of breath.
Look at the invitation, and they're just like, yeah, I'm really tired. And like,
this guy's not. I've been ready and waiting.
Ready and willing.
And all seriousness, like, obviously been following, you know, I tried, you know, the editor for Legit was like, hey, I need someone to write a Standard, you know, metagame, you know, piece, and I was like, I will do this, because I wanted to give myself an excuse to really look at all the lists.
Yeah.
I tried to go and get some testing in tonight. I've been testing online a little bit. You know, I'm not going to switch decks from what I've been doing the last few weeks, so it's kind of my own, you know, Boros brew and Standard. At this point, I mean, I could switch to Control. I'm good. I was talking to another player tonight about this. I'm good with Control.
Yeah.
I think I'm a fairly all right Control player. I've done well with Control in the past. In, you know, we talk about how do you attack the Invitational. In this region, I'm really good with Control. In an Invitational of much higher quality players, you know what I mean? I don't know that I want to go and be casting Six Revelations because, you know, I'm going to be honest, I don't feel as confident with it.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Not to mention the fact that the deck that most of the Star City players are on has a really solid sideboard playing against the Control decks and is going to crush them. So, I've been adjusting my sideboard a little bit and just, you know, tuning for that. I mean, I think you just have to be, you know, a lot of the players who go to this event, you know, the big name players, the ones you'll see on camera, the ones that, you know, I'll say shape the narrative more than shape the metagame, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Are the ones that are also the most commonly out there. You know, you can go find, you know, Brian Nelson's list. You can go ask, you know, Jerry Thompson is great about, if you ask him stuff on Facebook, the guy, you know, and that doesn't mean everyone should go immediately and, like,
yeah,
know,
don't masturbate. Don't. He's very nice.
But he'll answer questions for you. And they've all been pretty positive in the past about, you know, sharing their list. Make sure you give them credit or else they will cut one of your fingers off.
That's true.
But they're helpful about that. They'll shape the metagame. Sometimes, you know, they'll come out with like something really, you know, looks like the Miracles deck that just kind of blew everyone out of the water with
yeah.
it. Yeah. You know, and people accuse them of like leading people. Like, in your articles, you said you'd play this. And it's like, oh, so you had to play that deck. I didn't realize. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
But
certainly.
But I think the metagame is going to be like, you know, basically what we've seen. The other nice thing about this, and we already kind of mentioned this, is between the Pro Tour and GP Louisville, The big players in the format have not had a lot of time to brew.
That's
you know, true. They you know, and like they're playing innovative decks, but how many changes can you make beyond a few cards within the 3 days you have until the event starts? You know what yeah. I mean? You know, if Brad Nelson breaks the format, you know, halfway through the week, then you know, he sold a you know, Erebos. That's the Theros Satan.
There you go.
He's very bad.
It's all right. Tommy is going to rescue him from the underworld.
That's true. Look at you.
This is the. I'm going to stop right here. Like, I wish we had like a banner or something. Like, we counted all the puns we've had this episode.
We should have like a soundboard though. I should just press a button.
Hey! I have a bow tie that spins too.
Yeah, I wish you did.
Wow, but
part of the opiate of this podcast. I guess. Oh, another Marxist reference.
That was Capital.
What?
Capital.
Yes. Capital.
Yeah, they did. Oh, yeah.
But I think overall, like, you know where the format's at, and you got to attack it. I think I will say, you know, I'm not going to go and be crazy and make, you know, we can sit there and laugh about Todd Anderson saying like, oh, this is like a pro tour, but it's. It's a smaller... They tend to be smaller events. You're talking about, like, 300-400 players.
Yeah.
Maybe less. Some of them could be, like, 200 players. Mm-hmm. Indy, being in the Midwest, will be...
It'll be large. I think it'll be okay. One of the larger ones.
But definitely, like, you know, the amount of player... The player pool is small, and there's so many rounds across 2 days that, you know, they're just... You're going to play good players. You know, even if you're doing poorly, you're going to play good players.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's definitely something where you're going to have a stiffer competition than you would have in a typical Open. And I think that there are, I understand that you would want to make those hand motions because I said stiffer. I don't think it's very appropriate, but whatever.
Jesus, sorry, Dad.
Or the kitchen table. All right.
These candles look fine.
Anyway, but you are going to have more difficult competition. Now, based on what you've seen with your particular list, because you, like you said, you've been on Big Boros for a while. With your particular list, have you made any, like, drastic sideboard changes or main deck changes?
I mean, honestly, not tons. I've been kicking around, you know, a lot of the things that are good against Mono Black are actually the same things that are good against Esper. You know, permanents are good against them, you know, so Ascend of the Legion is good against them.
Yeah.
And I've considered adding another Assembled back to the board to go up to three in those matchups. Mm. I've been trying to test a little bit this week. I think... Yeah, you know, I'll make a few changes in cards. I have the 14 and the 15 sideboard slot going back and forth, where one was the third Burning Earth, but it won't be this week.
Yeah.
So you know, a few small choices. I think honestly, your best bet going in the Invitational, and again, this is the first one I've played in. You know what I mean? So, but I'd rather be really good with the deck I'm playing than try to play what I. This is going to sound terrible, but try to think what I think might be the new best deck, which may very well not be the new best deck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like just doing what I do and bounce between things rather than getting comfortable with something.
I mean, I feel like I know the deck I'm running, I know it in and out, and I know my matchups well.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is going to help me. I mean, that's how I feel the most prepared. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, and I think that's where a lot of people want to be at, especially for something like an Invitational. I think for an Open, you might run the risk, take a chance of just...
For sure.
Just rushing in with the new hottest thing. But you would if they want to play something that you're comfortable with, especially since you're, you know, going to be playing Legacy, too. And, like, and I think comfort with Legacy is also a huge thing, because people buy and invest in Legacy decks, and that's all they play. So... You know, I know that you don't necessarily play a whole lot of Legacy, and you're definitely borrowing a deck.
Very much so.
I would say that would be another challenge point is, you know, taking, I think Legacy, it's a hard thing to really metagame for. You just kind of take something like, you know, the best deck kind of format. But just get comfortable with that thing, man. So hopefully you get a lot of testing in, at least some testing in, and get more comfortable with that.
Yeah, no, I guess to counter that, because... Just for the sake of the discussion, I guess you talked about how you know your matchups well, and I know you do because you just stomped me in our testing games because of like my failure to understand your brew and stuff like that. But in a format like this, where there is the possibility that you show up to the Invitational and there's just five new decks there that everybody's on, you know, like Dave, for instance, got to the pre team when they had no idea about this mono blue list and was like, oh well. Shit, guys, we messed up somewhere.
I mean, that could happen.
No, but I think, you know, the format's diverse enough that you could just be like, then again, I guess now that I'm thinking out loud.
I'm one of those decks.
Right. Yeah. Fair enough. Like, but I think that really changes the whole idea. We're going into it kind of like how Morgan described Legacy. You just have to know your deck and then just kind of not wing it because it's more graceful than winging it. You know, gliding, falling with style, as Buzz Lightyear would say.
Right, I mean, like, I think, like, the strongest thing about the deck that you're going to be bringing is going to be your sideboard and how well your sideboard compares to what's there.
I mean,
I think as long as you have that, and, I mean, something you just have to know about is these lists that have, like, all this hand disruption and stuff like that. So, you know, people are going to be trying to take your Boros Reckoners with their Lifebane Zombies. People are going to be trying to take your hard to deal with permanents with their Thought Seizes. So I think that, you know, building a more redundancy in your list is going to be huge for you, which I'm sure you've already kind of considered. especially with adding the more assembled legions and stuff like that. What do you see coming up in the pre-existing lists that is going to be different? Like, so what do you see more of in Mono Black? Because I would think that something will probably be more of a thing in Mono Black. Are either going to be duresses or dark betrayals? Like black and black white, I think going to see dark betrayals getting played. Even though I definitely made a joke about that card, I thought that card was a joke. But it's like, well, if everyone's just going to play all these black creatures, well, I guess I'll play the one that answers.
And that's I suppose like, and I guess I'm going to say the word hope, which is probably bad for testing. But you know, Jordan mentions this, you know, or mentions that maybe there could be like five new decks. But it's my hope that, you know, again, without a lot of testing time in between these events, you know what I mean, no one having a chance to sort of catch their breath, you know what I mean, that hopefully instead of brewing something brand new, they'll just get really, really inbred. And, you know, and I love to see all the blacklists, like, playing things like, you know, like a Dark Betrayal and stuff, like, go right ahead, beat each other up, I don't care.
And, like, a lot of people have been saying, like, well, they, you know, they're probably going to have some concoctions of the, you know, Dark Betrayal, Ultimate Price, Doomblade. I mean, the format definitely lacks another one mana removal spell, but you don't. Like, that's the advantage of your list. Like, you can play Shock, and you can play...
I'm not playing Shock.
Oh, I mean...
Chain of the Rocks, buddy. That's where it's
at. You can play Chain... But you can play Shock, and you can play Chain of the Rocks. Like, you have access to some one mana removal spells that are very efficient. So, like, that I think it's a huge thing that your list has over a lot of other lists that just don't have access to that. They have to play 2-mana removal spells or very narrow 1-mana removal spells. I think that's kind of interesting. I'm uncertain of where, like, things, like Mono Blue Devotion, like, where does that go? I think more people are going to be playing, I know a lot of people...
It's hard to say with that list.
Well, local people have been playing, like, Rapid Hybridization. I know that's something that has been discussed as being more of an apparent card in that list. But I think even the Louisville list still played, like, you know, some number of them. I forget how much exactly, but I think I saw that. But I mean, like, I don't know where you would go with, like, Mono Blue list to kind of combat the format and where it's at as far as that goes.
I mean, I'm not sure either. I don't think I'm going to do that great, to be quite honest. My plan
for the winner attitude.
Well, my hope for the Invitational is that Legacy is first. So I need to go 500 in Legacy, but still do bad enough in Legacy that I get paired against the poorer Standard players, and just crush Standard. That's what I want to do.
Okay,
both days, walk out with some cash and be happy.
So like round like 10, you don't just play the greatest Legacy player known to be.
Yeah, that's like that. You know, I mean, I'm playing. So for Legacy, I'm playing Shardless Bug, which I like that list a lot. For a Legacy list, it plays a ton of 4-ofs. And it's very consistent, and as it was detailed to me this evening, it's also very forgiving. You know, cascading into free spells can really help when you've made sort of a misplay. And
I made a boo-boo.
And in my testing, this has shown up, and that's made me very happy, where it's just like, you know, I've Jordaned it a few times and just been like, oh, Starless Agent, oh, draw three, yeah, sure, Ancestral, that's cool.
That's great, so, that's awesome, that's perfect.
You know, I'm definitely confident with the deck, but like as I mentioned too, I was talking to a player from North through Facebook, Kevin Gerhardt, and I will be pestering him more on Facebook this weekend because he's played it to pretty much great. You know, he's done well with it recently, and I'm like, so how do you sideboard with this list? Like, like he was running no basics, and I'm like, so how do you beat Blood Moon? He's like, I don't. I'm like, you could try to play basics, but I've just decided I can't win that matchup. But I'm like, oh,
okay,
all right, so well, that's the Invitational is generally more fair. You know, what I mean, less people want to play, you know, glass cannons when you have so many skilled players around.
Right, and I think that's been a huge thing in Legacy. I think like the top four of the recent Legacy Open was just all combo decks.
Right,
so it's just like that's what a lot of people have been on in Legacy. It's just combo.
Right, but the Invitational always seems to be a little bit different. Everyone wants to play like, you know, Stoneblade and Shardless Bug.
That's true. They want
to
play these techie decks that are...
Because nobody wants to win with Mono Burn.
Well, you know? Well, I mean, like, it's not even... I consider playing Burn. I mean, I'm good at playing Lightning Bolt.
Three.
I did that for a while in Legacy. It gets a little boring, but I don't know. I'm hoping I can do well. You know, maybe you know, send cash. You know, maybe see me in a few feature matches where I don't look totally lost against better players. but we'll see. You know, the invitation was definitely. I'm excited for it because I've played in some invitation style events. You know, with 50Ks and that before, but you know, this being the first time I get to go and play this invitational, where I feel like I'm on par with a lot of the players who get invites consistently. I'm not saying I'm on par with the people who win the events, but I'd like to see how in an event that is so, you know, made up of pretty good players.
Yeah.
I'd like to see our fair.
Oh, yeah, no, fair enough. I can't blame you on that. I mean, obviously, we even have the TCG Player Trip Decay in our backyard coming up very soon.
The week after. This has just been, like, a consistent... looking at my phone. That's a bad thing to do while you're talking.
Yeah,
just a consistent, like, grueling, like, just ridiculous amount of events right in a row. All these play. Bravo to you players who are going to a bunch of them. I saw already on on Twitter, like, Kibler chickened out. He's like, yeah, I'm just not going to Louisville. I'm just not doing that. Like, and you can't blame anybody for not flying around. You know, luckily all the ones, you know, but then you go from Kentucky to Indianapolis to Columbus. It's like, welcome to all, like, the really terrible, you know, what or blue collar cities, you know, yeah, like,
come see
our warehouse districts, they're great.
Columbus isn't that bad, it's got some life.
My city, you know,
it's got some life, let's be fair. Like, Louisville, fine, you can shit on Louisville, I don't care, but Columbus is like the 15th like, biggest city or something, like, just behind San Francisco.
I didn't say we weren't big, okay? I mean, we're fat too. I'm not calling this a claim to fame,
saying that you could be in worse places for the 50k.
I'm glad we are the veterans memorial this year, though,
so that kind of...
That's really awful.
Did you guys not see that?
I did not see that.
Yeah, we're vets. Sorry, guys.
Jeez.
I have 90 points for sale.
It's not that bad. It's just not as good.
It literally smells in the veterans memorial.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It smells like old veterans.
Don't let this discourage you from coming.
No, seriously, don't come.
Anyway, I mean, it reminds me of that... We're going to bring it back. It reminds me of that... A couple months in the summer where we went to a PTQ every weekend,
yeah,
and we were tired. Like, imagine that, but plus a plane ride every Thursday,
yes,
you know, and like then jet lag. Like, I remember complaining, like, guys, I just want a Saturday of sleeping in. And these guys are like, I wouldn't mind going to bed.
But I mean, it's definitely been a good time of the month. And a good time of the year.
Good time of the month, buddy. Is that what it is?
It's a good time of the month.
Dark time is coming, but for now, thumbs up, money.
It's a good time of the month, a good time of the year for Midwest players. There have definitely been a lot of events and still a lot coming. So if you are a Midwest player, you know, get out there, go play. We're going to definitely try to make as many events as we could. Obviously, when winter sets in, hopefully it won't be as hard, but it could be just due to the snow and everything like that. So definitely hit as many as you can right now before you get snowed in. But that is pretty much the show. We definitely wanted to make sure that, you know, we do all have Twitters. The show has a Twitter. It's just at your end step. And then my Twitter is more of War Marshall. Jordan, what's your Twitter?
My Twitter is Omgerman. It'll be in the show notes below this.
Yeah, and then Mike.
Big_tears, as I mentioned before. I try to stay away from the computer so I don't get it all wet and, you know, break it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Get all teary eyed over it. But we just want to, you know, make sure that we definitely get this out there, because I know we haven't been as good as it in the future. Jordan?
Yeah, no, we want to announce that At Your Instep now has its own website.
Yes.
And that's pretty sweet. It is atyourinstep.com, a long name, amazing results. Which, if you're from Central Ohio, you'll get that reference. But atyourinstep.com, you'll find blogs from all three of us.
We'll definitely work on what content's going to be in there.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily as strong as a writer. So I'm going to
or a magic player or a reader.
You know what? I sound good, and that's why you guys have me on here, right?
Mike's writing will definitely obviously be the most interesting.
Certainly.
We're going to link to the podcast on there. We're going to link to, you know, our archives. We want it to be a useful tool as opposed to just another thing. So we don't want it just to be a redirect to MTGcast. So go on there at yourinstep.com. There is content readily available now. Let us know what you want to see on that.
Yeah, I mean, if there's anything specific that you'd like to see on there that websites don't do, you know, we definitely want to try it. I know that there are always things like, you know, interesting, you know, video content from a lot of providers and audio content. But if you guys want to see something, then just let us know. We want to try to do it. We want to be unique, and we actually want to provide a service that is going to be useful, not just another magic website, not just another magic podcast. So give us your ideas. We'll definitely give you credit, and we want to provide you with what you want. And that's kind of the whole goal with this thing. You know, we obviously like doing it and talking, but, you know, if no one's listening and no one's caring, then we're not doing our jobs. So please, you know, communicate with us through Twitter, through Facebook, through email. Our email is atyourinstep@gmail.com. You know, just please get a hold of us if you have any questions, concerns. Mike, did you have something?
Yeah, I wanted to mention, before I forget, First off, shout out to John Meininger for caching.
Yeah.
A member of Team Comic Town. I'll be heading with him to the Invitational this weekend. He'll probably do a lot better than me. But I also want to mention there is a player in the Akron area Magic community. His name was Justin Palmer. Passed away sort of abruptly recently. Carl Empire Games and a close friend of his, Nick Moran, were put together a stellar memorial event this last weekend, and I was told they raised roughly $2,000 to the family.
Oh, wow.
I was upset I couldn't go. We, as a podcast, we did donate some playmats, which we'll be, sending up there to Carl to give out to those who won them. But if you may not have known Justin, he was a really nice guy. Probably saw him at events. If for any reason you do want to donate to his family, we can donate directly to his mother through Nick Moran or herself. So if you are interested in making a donation to their family, if you have any sort of connection with Justin, contact me through either Facebook or Twitter, so at Big Tears, as I said, or you can do it through the podcast at facebook.com/@yourendstep. Yeah. Let me know if you'd like to do that. I can get you in contact with who you'd like to do that for. I thought, we talk a lot of really shitty things about the Magic community sometimes. To see a guy who is just like us, just traveling around to events, having a good time with his friends, just be gone like that, and see the community just have this huge outpouring. I thought it was really impressive.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in doing that, that's fine. Just contact me and I'll put you with who you need to put into with that.
Yeah, most certainly. Yeah. Please do if you do have if you do want to do that, please get in contact with Mike and we'll definitely get that taken care of. That's pretty much everything, guys. Thank you for joining us for another episode about your Insta. And you have a great day.